views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area, WBLQ AM 1230 in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and New York, and on CRN across the country and Transformation Talk Radio around the world. Welcome. I'm so glad you've joined us here today. You're not going to be sorry because I tell you, we're going to have a fabulous conversation. But first, I have to say hello to my better half in the studio, Mr. Benny. Hello, Benny.
Hiya.
How are you doing today?
Oh, just another day.
Just another day.
Just another day for me, but it's a beautiful Friday, so gotta love it.
It is.
The end of the week.
It's
yay!
Not raining, which, you know,
always
news in Seattle. Well, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, but you know, it's been sort of like up and down with the weather, but it's nice to know we've got some sunshine in the forecast.
It's spring. Keeps us on our toes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people in the rest of the world have no idea why we talk about rain or no rain all the time.
Right. But who wants to sit in like 80 degrees all day long and
sunshine.
Do it again the next day and the next day and the next day? That's just so boring.
I do.
You do, really? Sure about that?
Yes, actually, I am.
Oh, okay.
But you know,
good for the joint.
It's strange because I just love the Seattle area. It's the only place I've ever been around the world where I feel totally at home. And
I agree.
Go figure, I love sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm really excited today because I get to have fabulous conversations. As we say in the byline, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. And, of course, they're conversations that illuminate my journey as well. Now, my guest today, she's been on the Christine Upchurch Show before. But, you know, it was via telephone, which is the way most of our conversations actually occur is over the internet or over the phone. And I'm so fortunate today because my guest is in the studio, which means it's going to be all that much better of a conversation. And, you know, we get eye contact and get to giggle more on the breaks. My guest today is Kate Montana. She is the author of one of my favorite books that I've read over the last year. You know, I have to read lots and lots of books in this job. And, of course, I read lots of books on my own personal journey. And her book, Unearthing Venus, has been one of my favorites. It's a memoir. But it's a journey that illuminates so much within the reader. And we're going to be talking about some of the things that have been illuminated for us on our journeys, as well as what's in this book. She's been around the world and done a lot of things through her career. She's not only the author of Unearthing Venus, she's the co-author of The Heart of the Matter, Discovering Gifts in Strange Wrapping Paper. She's also the co-author of Ghetto Physics, Redefining the Game. She is a freelance writer and editor, and she specializes in the reawakening of feminine consciousness. And she also likes to not only look at sort of the philosophical, but get into the metaphysics and the physics and seeing that connection between science and mysticism. She's the former editor and publisher of the online magazine The Global Intelligencer, and she's authored hundreds of articles in the mainstream media, including Seattle Magazine, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. She worked as the Northwest Bureau Chief for the national Native American newspaper Indian Country Today. And before her writing and publishing career, Kate freelanced as a videotape editor. And in fact, she was like the first woman who broke into Monday Night Sports. We'll talk about that. And she has really been on quite the amazing journey. And I'm so happy to be welcoming Kate Montana here in the studio. Hi, Kate.
Hey, Christine. It's wonderful to be here. I'm always really kind of bemused when anybody reads about all that. I'm like, what? I did all that? No. That was me? Really? God, it seems like a million years ago.
High five to myself. There we go. All right. Exactly.
It really is impressive, and it's been a variety. I mean, you know, videotape editing to mysticism mm-hmm. and you know, at looking at feminine values and what it means to be a woman and actually what it means to be a man with balance.
Mm-hmm.
How did you take that journey? First of all,
yes.
tell us about how you broke into the male-dominated field of videotape editing in sports.
You know, I really don't know how it happened, Christine. It was very odd. I was wanting to be a newspaper journalist, and I was getting my master's degree in journalism. And then I met a guy, and he was a radio disc jockey and engineer. Hello, Benny. So anyway, and so I started hanging out at the radio show with him. One thing led to the other. I met an affiliated engineer with the affiliated TV station, WIS-TV in Columbia, South Carolina. And I got the nickel tour of the TV station, and I was so bored with school.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to be on my own. I wanted to be independent. I wanted to be out there in the world. And I was offered a on-the-job training as a videotape operator because it was 1970, holy moly, 1974, mm-hmm. and equal opportunity employment
and
time.
And you were three then, right?
I was three, yes. Thank you very much. They had no age limits. So I took the job, left school, and never looked back. I loved television. And it was also a completely male-dominated field as far as the technical areas were concerned back in those days.
Sure, no surprise.
No surprise. And I had had an agenda all of my life that I was conscious of but not conscious of, oddly enough. I wanted to be as good as the guys. It was just something that drove me from a very young age. I was always, you know, I played boys' sports. I played on the boys' side of the, you know, of the playing field at school. I was the only girl allowed on the jungle gym with the guys. And it was just, you know, it helped to have an athletic bod. And so then television happened, and it was just so cool. And I somehow, in 1977, got on. I had progressed through the ranks. I'd moved on to another TV station down in Columbia, in Charleston, South Carolina, and was a director there. Somehow, to this day, Christine, I don't know how it happened, I got on a list of freelance tape operators on some guy's desk in L.A.
Oh, wow.
And NABIT, the National Association of Broadcast Engineers and Technicians, went on strike, and Monday Night Football opening season game mm-hmm. in St. Louis was coming up. And I got a phone call from a total stranger in L.A. going, would you like to scab for the networks?
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, yeah, okay.
So you had to cross the picket line, essentially.
I had to cross the picket lines. Bunch of middle-aged, kind of balding, paunchy guys waving signs and banging on the windows. And they mm-hmm. took one look at me and just about had apoplexy. And so did the freelance technicians. You know, I mean, everything stopped when I walked on the job site outside of Busch Stadium. It was just like 45 men and me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of swallowed hard and did a good job, never looked back, and was invited back because I was a novelty. But also, you know, all the networks, all of the companies were really, really being hard pressed by the government in those days to do equal opportunity employment situations.
Sure.
So it was just really, really good timing.
And it sounds like you worked hard throughout your life to be able to compete with men to be at the same level
Or better. Yeah. Well, I think most women who have come along in the last 60 years have had that fandango going on. It's like it's the old joke about you got to do it harder, faster, longer, stronger, and better,
right?
Just to be considered marginally equal. Mm-hmm. I think that's totally changing. But you know, the old joke about Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. You know, she did everything Fred Astaire did except in high 4-inch heels and backwards.
Exactly. That's a good one.
Yeah, totally. So, and it was intoxicating, Christine. It was an adrenaline rush. Oh my God, you know, doing. I did a lot of slow motion replay, so it was a lot of live work.
And that must be really intense because you've got to get it.
You
got to
get it right.
Right. You have to get it fast.
You have to get it right. You have to get it fast. And women are actually better. In England, they call technical directors vision mixers. You know, the big, massive mixing boards for both audio and video.
Sure.
And women are just more facile with their fingers, with their hands. They're quicker in the body than usually men are. So in England, I found out that women had been vision mixers for a number of years just because the industry understood how quick and light-fingered they were. So
fascinating.
Yeah, it was interesting. But
so there you were, competing
yep.
with men,
yep.
doing well in your career.
Yep. Got married totally to Mr. Wright. who turned out to be totally Mr. Wrong.
Funny how that happens.
Well, you know, I've discovered that I think that, you know, that huge, when two people really like head-on collision attract,
right.
I'm debating now whether that's really love or whether that kind of attraction isn't the both souls just going, oh my God, somebody who completes and fills all these empty places in me that I haven't been able to nurture and develop in myself, you know, so kind of like that head-on crutch.
Yeah, and you
situation.
Know, I view it too as, you know, as an energy healer. I think in terms of blockages we have, it's kind of like I think of us as having permeability through which the light flows through us, the higher frequency vibration, and there are clogs there, and the clogs are just begging to be burst open. And there's an aspect of that attraction that's like, oh, that person is really going to help me illuminate and enlarge and hopefully burst open that stagnation. That's my blockage. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. But you don't know that. All you do is go, oh, my God, he's so sexy. I love his eyes. Yeah. You know, it's just like I was a goner. So I had everything that society said I was supposed to have to be happy, Christine. I was 31 or two by that point. Married, had all the material things I needed, a really dynamic career, and I was not happy. There was something so achingly, obviously missing in my life, but I didn't know what it was. And I got a divorce, and by that time I'd been in network television for 7 years, and I was completely fried. I was on a jet going to some sporting event, you know, two times a week, and I was just incredibly burned out. And I took myself off to the woods for a few years and learned to meditate and compose music and just took a complete downtime. And I didn't know. I mean, it's so interesting looking back because, as you say, my book is a memoir. And I looking at the whole issue of gender and the marginalization, the deepest marginalization of feminine values that I've come to be aware of, that I wasn't aware of for the first freaking 50 years of my life. And it's so funny looking back on my life through the gender lens to see that I was actually doing unconsciously what I write about later when I did that interview with the shaman from South America, who was talking about the difference in gender and culture in his culture and how men and women had different tasks and they understood men and women to have different characteristics and qualities that the masculine tends to be more focused and aggressive and linear and end result oriented and self oriented, and the feminine has a tendency to be more intuitive and non-linear and multidimensional and other oriented, process oriented.
Right.
And I didn't know how much my life would actually reflect both polarities until I went back and recapitulated the 50 years.
Interesting.
In the book. Yeah, it was really interesting.
You know, we're going to have to go to a quick break, but I'm really looking forward to, after the break, chatting with you about what it means to have the marginalization of feminine values, how that not only affects society, but how that affects individual women. When we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show with Kate Montana.
Tune in Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern to Spirit Guidance Radio with Shannon Walbrand on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with South Africa's top psychic will amaze and uplift you. Call in to receive detailed, specific answers that offer immediate solutions as Shannon interprets messages from your spirit guides. Whether it's love, business, or health, your spirit guides are ready to help. Visit ShannonWalbrand.com for more info. You are guided.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. A Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Strella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Strella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
And you and me, no matter how they toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today in studio with Kate Montana. She's the author of several books, including Unearthing Venus, My Search for the Woman Within. Now, Kate, before the break, you were telling your story of making it in a man's world. And, you know, and this difference between the masculine and the feminine. What's happened in this society, as I know you write about and I've personally experienced, is this sense that the masculine has been what's valued. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we as women, you know, my former research statistician career, you know, I was really pushing hard to make it in a man's world and to prove myself. And yet there's a cost just focusing on the masculine aspects within us.
Mm-hmm.
How do we go from, like, rejecting the feminine within ourselves to beginning to embrace it?
Oh, that's a small question, Christine. I think first you have to recognize that something's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that on a very deep soul level, most men and women in our society especially are grasping that there is an emptiness, that there is something that's sorely lacking.
Sure.
In our society and our value systems. And you asked right before the break, how is this impacting us and how is it showing up? And I think one of the things that's really fascinating is to see that after 50 years of liberation, a lot of surveys, the Virginia Slim survey, the U.S. governmental social surveys, European surveys, are showing that for the most part, across the board, women aren't as satisfied with their lives now as they were 40 years ago.
They're, wow, that's so significant.
It is hugely significant. And they, for the first time for the last 25 years, women have shown to be significantly less, their well-being is less than men's for the first time since any surveys have ever been done.
That's amazing.
So what the heck is that? And that goes hand in glove with the fact that you want to talk about equality numbers? Women, ta-da, are now today almost equal with men as far as alcohol abuse statistics and alcohol-related illness is concerned. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is the kind of equality we were looking for.
Right.
One in four women starting ages 40 and 50 are hooked on antidepressants.
One in four. That's
one in four.
Shocking.
It's shocking. 43 women, I think it's an hour. Hold on. I actually wrote down this note. 42 women die every day in the United States from deliberate drug overdose.
Whoa.
You know, and the whole, oh my God, I can't wait to get home and have a couple of glasses of wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine, fine. But I think a lot of it is the fact that we are at a spiritual crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And to my mind, the crisis is one of values. And the fact that we are only living and serving masculine-oriented values in our culture. When we came out of the starting gate in the 50s and got on the playing field, it was the guys' playing field.
Yes.
We were raised to be like guys. We were educated in a masculine education system that was developed by men to create men to go out and work in a socioeconomic marketplace,
uh-huh.
devised by men for men to compete, a different kind of gladiatorial arena.
Uh-huh.
And so what choice did we have? We were just damn happy to be on the field. Oh, my God, at last. And this was what we've called liberation. And I've been fascinated to hear that Gloria Steinem, bless her cotton socks, at 80, is still banging the drum of we've got to break those last shards of the glass ceilings, girl. We will not be equal until we have absolute economic parity, job for job, wage for wage with men. And I'm like, okay. wait a minute, stop. We're driving ourselves insane. We are now, men and women are so focused on having and doing, and the material drive for and the material definitions of success,
right?
And that we have lost track. I think the next wave of feminism is to realize that we're missing feminine values.
Yes.
We don't even know what the hell they are anymore.
Right.
And so and the last thing women in the last 50 years have been able to afford to do is walk into a job and want to bring their softer, other-oriented, compassionate, loving selves to the boardroom table.
Right. And it, you know, for me, on my journey, you know, I was a research statistician for a number of years, and I was working in cancer research and conventional medicine, but also some like, you know, vitamin prevention studies.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a baby, my first child, and, you know, I just absolutely adored him. And although I was down to working part-time, I found myself at 2 in the morning while my baby was sleeping, and I was totally sleep-deprived, working on reviewing a journal article and adding some statistics to it,
mm-hmm.
so that it could get published. And I'm thinking, there's something really broken here.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that moment, I just made the choice that I have to stop this. I want to focus on loving and supporting my child,
mm-hmm.
and raising him. And, you know, eventually I made it into the working world again, but this time in the healing arena. But it was that sort of moment of, there's something really out of balance here,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I have to suffer, you know, sleep deprivation and not embrace the relationship with my son fully, mm-hmm. because of the fact that I was so busy proving myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And keeping your job.
Yes.
In a highly competitive market where now both men and women go toe to toe. And it's fascinating to realize that the headway women have made, that we've made, is just astonishing. Far more women now get graduate degrees from college.
Mm-hmm.
Women hold 37% more managerial positions.
Oh, that's
than
fascinating.
Men. Isn't that? So, and there have been a lot of studies that have been done about, well, you know, back to this women's versus men's happiness. And interestingly enough, and maybe not surprisingly, a lot of studies show that women in management, heavy responsibility positions, they're not happy. They don't, if they just get a title and they can't really make deep changes,
uh-huh.
and initiate programs that they think are valuable, women don't do well. They do not thrive on titular authority. Guys are actually happier with, if they just have, you know, a good title and they don't have a lot of authority to go with it, it kind of doesn't bother them.
Interesting.
But women are deeply affected if they have the responsibility, and yet that underlying ability to make across the board deep, deep changes, it's not possible in a system that won't embrace feminine values.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, this is one of the things that I've been chewing on, going, well, okay, why are women drinking so much more? Why are they killing themselves? Why?
Sure.
And it's like, okay, we've got all the authority and actually more authority in some places than men do. But we are not allowed to implement programs and policies that reflect compassion, caring, and taking care of the earth and taking mm-hmm. care of communities and taking care of people.
Right. It seems to me, Kate, that one of the issues along the way has got to be that we women need to value the feminine. You know, I mean, we rejected that because, boy, you know, that's being devalued mm-hmm. in, you know, society wide. And we want to prove ourselves and we want to, you know, look good and make enough money and et cetera, et cetera. But if we don't get to the point where we value the, you know, taking the time during the meeting when somebody's getting a little emotional to talk about mm-hmm. the emotions that are coming up or, right. you know, talk about, you know, how to implement meaningful changes within the context of jobs and how to value it within our relationships at mm-hmm. home, mm-hmm. It seems like we can't make broad changes.
Right. Because we're still stuck, for the most part, in very old stereotypical definitions of what masculine and feminine is.
Tell me more.
Which is just bizarre to think of in 2014 that we're, to some extent, yes, men are softening. Yes, men are much more involved in childcare. Men are, you know, a lot more stay-at-home dads. It's a great evolution transpiring because, well, somebody's had to pony up and be the woman.
Sure.
You know, if the broads are out there kicking ass and having to prove themselves to such a degree that they've truncated their own emotions, then somebody's got to take up the balance. And nature is all about balance.
Absolutely.
And it's been fascinating, Christine, because I've talked to a lot of people, men and women, about ever since I wrote this book. And the hardest nuts to crack, some of them are the deepest involved authority-oriented feminists, because they've given up so much,
right?
And they haven't, and they dare not really look at that mm-hmm. because what does that mean to them in their heart of hearts and in their soul of what they've given up to get those positions of power?
Yes.
And so it's fascinating to think that we're still in this day and age. Now we're dealing with Jane Wayne, not John Wayne, Jane Wayne, mm-hmm. you know, who's got to truncate her feelings and can't go there. Because I don't know about you, but when I started writing this book and looking at the whole gender arena, it was like, somebody say the word feminine, and I'm sorry, my first word association is pink.
Right.
And if they had to say feminine again, what's your next word? It would have been lace. Uh-huh. And it was just like, oh, my God, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, really.
Yeah.
So we've still got these incredibly naive and juvenile definitions about gender. And so, one of the things that really excites me about having these kinds of conversations is that, you know, having spent 30 years in the whole New Age spirituality movement, you know, I wanted to be enlightened and then I wanted to be a spiritual teacher. I think probably everybody goes through that disease. But so I finally, you know, woke up one day and realized, oh, God, the world doesn't need another unenlightened spiritual teacher. I got it. Uh-huh. So but talking about gender is fascinating to me because it's kind of like backing into the whole spirituality concept. Because I think when we start expanding our definitions of what masculine and feminine are and get out of the pink lace and the John Wayne syndromes,
right.
and just the he-in and the she-in and how the sexual body parts fit. It's like, oh, my God, let's talk about qualitative characteristics.
Okay, and we have to take a quick break, but I very much want to continue this conversation and find out how we can define masculine and feminine in a way so that we can embrace all of who we are when we return here with Kate Montana on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol-sensitive patients. For more information, licensed or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada, 800 800- 303-3775.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Ari Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Ari has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Ari party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. And I am indeed happy because I've got Kate Montana here in the studio with me. She's the author of Unearthing Venus, My Search for the Woman Within. And she's the author of a couple of other books and zillions of articles, and she's had an amazing career. And before we get back into our conversation about masculine and feminine and what that really means, Kate, can you share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you and find your book?
Absolutely. They can go to my website, www.unearthingvenus.com, or www.katemontana, that's with a C, .com. And the book is at Barnes & Noble's and bookstores and, of course, Amazon.com.
Yes, I just love Amazon. And, yeah. You know, you can get the book on in the paper form, usually within 2 days, and via the Kindle, like, within 30 seconds.
There you go.
Yeah, it's great. And as I was saying at the top of the hour, I absolutely love this book. It was transformational for me. And it's, you know, it's about Kate's journey. Now, Kate, you know, you were talking before about how we sort of have misinterpreted and misconstrued what masculine and feminine really mean.
Mm-hmm.
What's your definition of feminine and masculine?
Well, it's expanded, that's for sure. We are energy beings, and we translate down into this physical form. It always fascinates me to realize that less than a second after the Big Bang occurred, that we had polarity. We had positive and negative. We had electrons and positrons.
Mm-hmm.
Less than a second after the Big Bang occurred,
right,
we had polarity, because that's the foundation of all material form. And the way that shows up, and traditionally, if you look at the Taoist Chinese system of thought, the feminine has been associated with the negative polarity, mm-hmm. and the masculine with the positive. And my old feminist hackles would always rise when I would read that and go, yeah, really? Of course. Why uh-huh. are then why? You know, we're associated with darkness, uh-huh. moistness, interiority, emotion, chaos, uh-huh. Passivity, receptivity. And I was like, I would read those characteristics of what was considered feminine. And fascinating in the Taoist system is that everything has masculine and feminine qualities to it.
Sure.
And many things, you know, even like other languages, mostly Romance languages, they have feminine nouns and masculine nouns.
Right.
Things are seen automatically through the lens of this polarized positive, negative, masculine, for lack of a better word, masculine and feminine distinction. And now I think, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier, we have trivialized the whole idea about polarity and gender to the pink lace and the giggly girl and mm-hmm. the girly girl and the John Wayne manly man, to the degree that we almost don't see anything else anymore. We're uh-huh. still playing out the street card, you know, called desire. And so, you know, we have these characteristics, and the feminine is not always soft and respect. It is characterized by softness and receptivity and passivity. Not all women are that way.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes more men are more feminine than masculine. Sometimes
Absolutely.
More women are more masculine than feminine. But we keep, you know, I swear to God, I would really like to have different words than masculine and feminine.
Uh-huh.
Like peanuts and almonds. Something. Anything different, because our... everybody's associative mind instantaneously is triggered by the words masculine and feminine. And they think
sure.
that, and they think they know what is being said here.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think part of the untangling of this situation that we find ourselves in, and how wonderful it would be to expand the conversation about, well, what is masculine and feminine? What are women and men doing? How can we complement each other? How can we embrace these, for lack of a better word, God-given characteristics and qualities that uh-huh. we bring to the table living as spirits in a physical world? How can we complement one another?
Uh-huh.
And it's really fascinating. Even the words that we speak, we are so biased towards a masculine orientation, Christine, in our Western society, that even the words, this is one of the things that just drove me up the wall when I first started this whole gender investigation, was like, I would read words like passivity is uh-huh. a quality of the feminine, and I'd go, yuck, I don't want to be passive. But I didn't realize I was bringing a masculine perspective and bias to
yes.
the definition.
Yes, that makes perfect sense, because with passivity, it means, you know, and receptivity, it means, okay, that, as I view it, the light, the higher frequency energy that's more connected to our spiritual nature, if you will,
mm-hmm.
can flow through.
Mm-hmm.
We can be.
There you go. That's it's the B
yes,
word. It's
yes.
being. Passivity, receptivity, it's being.
Yes. And how powerful is that?
Well, my God, it's the foundation of all creation.
Right.
And if you're doing,
ooh, that's,
doing.
That's big. Say that again.
It being is the foundation of all creation. It is the nest. It's the womb. It's the dark void
uh-huh.
that holds within it absolutely nothing, but receives the thought, masculine, abstract, consciousness,
uh-huh.
that penetrates the womb of darkness, the void, and the seed grows. You've
yes.
got to have both. If you don't plant the seed in the earth, nothing happens.
Right.
So again, complementarity is another. This is fascinating. The Taoist system is complementarity, darkness and light,
yes.
complementary. The West, more masculine in its orientation and thought processes, sees it as opposition.
Oh.
Battle.
As opposed
the Eastern to... view is more, quote unquote, feminine, more receptivity, more meditative, more
uh-huh.
internal. Oriented, softer, if you will,
mm-hmm.
sees it as complementary.
Yes.
So it's just it's a stunning conversation, Christine. It just goes so deep and it's so vast. And one of the things that continues, oh my God, I've been on this whole gender thing for gender bender for 13, 14 years now, uh-huh. and it just gets, the rabbit hole just keeps getting bigger and deeper.
Sure.
And the marginalization wider and the subtlety more vast. Uh-huh. It's just fascinating.
You know, I know that there are a lot of people in what I consider to be the New Age community. And, you know, I used to sort of view myself as a part of that. And now I find that it actually, how do I put this? It sort of encompasses aspects and perspectives that I don't always agree with.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's so much good to it. But there are people within that community and that perspective that actually are devaluing the masculine now. And that bothers me just as much as devaluing the feminine, because I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, if I allow the creation to flow through me and mm-hmm. to begin to grow, mm-hmm. then don't I need to have the focus and the action in order to bring it to life? You
Absolutely.
Know, it's like we need both.
If you don't have both, you've got nothing.
Yes.
You have no creation. You have no manifestation. You have absolutely zippo.
Right.
You can, just like a functional human being has to have a functional head and a functional heart to do well.
Uh-huh.
A head without a heart doesn't work, and a heart without a head doesn't work.
Exactly.
So if we could ever get our heads out of where the sun doesn't shine and, and just kind of like see this and again get beyond the limited definitions of gender and in the lower end of it, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And you know, I think one of the things that shocked me, and it's really interesting, I have to ask you, what is the spiritual slamming of men in the New Age community? I'm just curious.
Oh, well, it's not of men. It's mm-hmm. it's of masculinity. And so I know that there are several men who are even saying, oh, well, you know, it's the being that's all important. And it's the, you know, never be, you know, assertive, aggressive kind of thing. It's mm-hmm. it's sort of embracing the feminine and rejecting their own and rejecting out there mm-hmm. Some of the masculinity. And it feels really important to have a balance.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where we're going is balance. We have our foot on the accelerator and we're in doing mode, and everybody's on the masculine side of the boat doing uh-huh. the doing.
Right.
And the doing is taking, you know, resource depletion and social depletion and human resources. Mm-hmm. It's taking everything over a cliff. So the whole balance is absolutely critical. And, you know, we were talking on the break about change. Change is movement. And mm-hmm. the masculine, God bless it, and this is not about men, okay? The masculine orientation tends towards the static. It wants perfection.
Ah.
It wants things that perfect rule-bound, rule and law, religion, government, uh-huh. is masculine.
Control.
It wants to control everything. And the way we look at control is that it means power over oneself,
uh-huh.
power over another, power over systems, power of money, all of it. Power over the earth. You know, we have been given dominion. Well, I don't think we've been given dominion. We've been given a brain to figure it out, how to be stewards.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole masculine, and this is actually what my next book is about, called Unearthing Shadows, gets into fundamentalist religion, the Abrahamic tradition of Judaism, Christianity,
uh-huh.
Islam, and the damage that has been done on this whole power over masculinization, rule, law, the static view. I mean, fundamentalist to Christianity believes that this is a, 12,000-year-old static story.
Sure.
That, you know, Jehovah rules over,
mm-hmm.
and you either agree and you go to heaven or you don't agree and you go to hell. So it's incredibly static, and now we're just being busted all to hell with our economic problems
sure.
and social shifts and changes the order of the day. And it looks very chaotic, and that is another qualitative Taoist look at what the feminine, quote-unquote, is very chaotic. Well, it isn't rule-bound. It's the mm-hmm. complement to rule and law. It's absolute anything and everything goes.
Right.
How cool is that?
And that creates a shift.
It's unlimited.
Allows us to expand.
Unlimited.
Have to pause this conversation one more time and go to break. More with Kate Montana when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Listen.
listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at YoAndrewNTS.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to transformationtalkradio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with the author of Unearthing Venus, Kate Montana. Now, Kate, before the break, we were talking about this concept of control and how that when masculinity is in charge, and I'm not talking about men per se, I'm talking about masculine values are in charge, that there's a lot of control and sort of a resistance to change. How do we sort of create a balance so that we don't stay in that stagnation?
I think we're on a social transformational revolution right now. We are species evolution. As much as, well, you know, the fundamentalist static view of, well, you know, this is the picture of reality and how it is. Well, apparently evolution really does work, and it's taking care of itself. We are being pushed, kicking and screaming, whether we want it or not, in the direction of change.
You're so right.
And embracing, I mean, it is just up. The whole feminine conversation is up and understanding it at a deeper level. And we wanted to get a little bit into the whole sexuality. Part of what I'm going to be writing about in my next book, Unearthing Shadows, is the rule of law and the masculine static view of how things are supposed to be. And please, let's just lock everything into place so it just works, has been very abstract. Let's go to the light. God is out there. God is all things good. The body is all things bad.
Right.
Therefore, the light, consciousness, masculine, they're all have been associated as the same thing for thousands of years.
Sure.
The body, the feminine, darkness, chaos, the bad, the negative, For thousands of years, it's been
to be
seen
rejected.
Like that. It's to be rejected.
Not embraced.
The body is the demon barrier to getting to God.
Uh-huh.
So God bless the New Age movement who is it's talking about, oh, yes, well, you know, the material world is spirit made flesh. But it also pays lip service to it because I spent so much time focused on the light.
Uh-huh.
So my whole
transcending the
transcending the physicality without ever really having embraced physicality.
Uh-huh.
Aside from a stupefying over-sexualization of it in debauchery.
Sure.
You know, we've been like little kids in a candy store glutting ourselves. Well, uh-huh. when you start growing up, you realize that you just can't eat 12 pounds of M&Ms and then, you know, yeah. go screw your brains out. You know, it just doesn't do well.
Right.
So we're getting beyond having to have rule and law tell us what's right and wrong because we really are moral creatures. We in our heart of hearts, we know what's right and wrong.
I agree. I mean, you take it, look at toddlers and
yeah.
they have compassion. They you know, they have values
yeah.
from the get-go.
And so we are evolving into a place where we will be self-regulating
mm-hmm.
and expand this whole conversation about sexuality and the body from just something to get it on and get the next generation going and to have an orgasm and feel good
uh-huh.
to something that's actually precious and sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And to start really doing this blend of seeing the body and emotion and the material world as a temple.
Yes. And from my perspective, the energetics of it is it's a melding of the higher frequency vibrational energies of two people, but also the lower vibration. So it's a process that can be incredibly expansive and very spiritual, if you will, you know, beyond not just the physicality of it.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes, I think we just focus on the physical aspects.
Body parts.
Of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And our sexuality and our, just like our orientation toward men and women is crude and unsubtle.
Sure.
We're developing a different modality and way of looking at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing's going to have to happen with sexuality. I talk about in my book, The Dagra Tribe, that
right.
doesn't even have a word for sex.
Really?
Doesn't have a word for sex
huh.
because it's not an act. It's not a static thing you do.
Interesting.
You don't do it. You journey with someone because they understand that the body is a temple,
uh-huh.
a doorway. It's psychically, it holds psychic dimensions as well in place. And the two men, two women, one woman and a man, whatever,
uh-huh.
come together and make love, that they are doing a journey together to visit their ancestors, to transcend time, to walk through dimensions together. Yes, they have a wonderful time with the physical pleasure part of it, but
sure.
it's only a small part of the picture.
So, you know, when I read that in your book, I have to tell you, Kate, it brought tears to my eyes because it's such an antithesis of where we are in our culture because there's such objectification of women.
Oh, God.
And objectification of sex. And
mm-hmm.
there's objectification of men, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Kind of like the masculine response of women is to say, okay, well, if we're going to be objectified, then we're going to objectify men.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as broken.
Oh, it's horribly broken both ways. It makes me weep. Sometimes I'll see movies where you know, a boy and a girl get together and they have a bowl of soup and then they go to bed
uh-huh.
and just do it. And there's just this empty rutting that leaves
right.
both of them just emptier than ever before
uh-huh.
on a soul level. So to start, oh my God, we have to stop demonizing the body, demonizing the feminine,
and that's
we still
so important.
Do.
You were talking about that before we ever got started with this conversation, before the show started. And there are so many people who want to transcend the body
mm-hmm.
and view the body as less than.
Mm-hmm.
It's
we've ever embraced it.
Yes.
And I'm for myself, what I'm learning in this journey is to now, instead of always striving to get out of my body, trust me, I've spent a lot of time out of my body, is to now just really ground, go deep into my body, into
uh-huh.
my emotions, feel it all. And it's really, really fascinating because I'm finding that my meditations going into my body and into my emotions take me to the same glorious place as trying to get out of my body always did. It's the same. The body is the meeting ground. It's heaven and earth.
Yes. And I do believe that we get that higher frequency information, so to speak,
uh-huh.
through our emotions and through our physical sensations.
Absolutely.
It's our, you know, our communication or our interpreter for us.
Absolutely. There's a reason that the heart's electromagnetic field is 60 times stronger than the brain's.
Uh-huh.
If you're in a heart space, and somebody who's in mental chaos comes into the room, if they get within your auric field, within 4 or 5 feet away, mm-hmm. your heart will entrain their brain and change their brainwave state. Yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's beautiful. So in the heart is now, they've discovered it has a plexus of nerves, and mm-hmm. there's a it has its own little brain. And yes. and so the whole thing about follow your heart, oh God, Christine, if I had to sum up this whole conversation in one sentence, it would be follow your heart. It will never let you down.
Oh, that's a beautiful way to end the show. And I'm sorry that this conversation has gone so quickly. It's been a pleasure to have you here. Again, Kate, remind our listeners how they can get in touch with you.
www.unearthingvenus.com. You can find the book on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble's, at your local bookstore. And I'm at www.katemontana.com.
Wonderful. And that's Kate with a C. Kate, thanks so much for joining me here.
Christine with a C. Thank you.
And thank you for listening here today. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. We so enjoy having you join us today, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Introducing a new hit show, Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Gifted, shifted, and powerful is what this show is about. Tune in each month to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Having trouble keeping up with the accelerated, life-altering changes occurring on the planet? The Quantum Vortex is the brainchild of Meg Benedicte, a pioneer in quantum healing and energetic activations. Weaving together ancient spiritual knowledge, quantum physics, and vibrational healing, Meg Benedicte is accelerating change at the cellular level. For more details on private sessions, meditation CDs, downloads, and teleseminars, visit NewEarthCentral.com.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in to the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Tune in to Intuit University, compassionate guidance connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard, the second and fourth Thursday each month at 12 p.m. Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality and a fun and magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring as Sherry supports and empowers you to create your best life in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, and spirituality. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com.